DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essev. Monsignor Essev is a priest in the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essev encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. Pope John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essev. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
Is the feast of the triumph of the Holy Cross. When we have the Holy Cross on Good Friday, we see the cross as that which Jesus suffered and died. The Holy Cross, it doesn't look like glory. Actually, Easter was the day of glory. But today, the cross is triumphant. The cross is glorious. And the celebration is called the exaltation of the Holy Cross, so that this sign and symbol should be for all Christians a radiant sign, a tremendous sign of triumph over sin, the cross, the forgiveness of sins, over Satan, the power of Jesus defeating Satan by the cross, and over death, resurrection. So the cross today is being held up to us as a magnificent and wonderful triumph. It is a sign for all of us. And it's what is the sign, the most important sign for everyone who is listening today is God's love. God's love. God so loved the world that he gave us his Son. And his Son so loved us that he died on the cross for us. So many times the most important fails to get communicated, that every Christian in the world and every person in the world would be able to hear through the cross and through the message of God, the divine love for me. How often we, who are baptized and united with Jesus Christ, and over one-third of the entire world has been baptized into Christ Jesus, how often we fail to realize that that is the love that God has for me. Does God love me? And many times the cross looks like it's suffering. It's pain. What is the sign of the cross meant to mean? It is meant to mean love. And so let's listen as John is speaking to Nicodemus in the third chapter of his gospel. This is a reading that is so important for us to listen, especially it's beginning with the 14th, the 13th verse. These are many quoted words often, John 3:16, but we'll begin with the 13th verse. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. I, Jesus, have come from heaven. I've come from my Father. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." He's referring to his cross. "So that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." So to believe in Jesus Christ and his cross is eternal life. For God so loved the world. Important. Listen. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. God, our Creator, God who sent Jesus to be our Redeemer, God loves me. God loves you. God loves you with infinite love. How much love? That his only Son he would send into this world to redeem us. And that Son so loved us, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. What was that salvation? It was the cross. If I be lifted up. That sign, and I honestly believe, many times has lost its significance. We know what the gas chamber is. You know, we have, when people go undergo capital punishment, because for the Romans, this was the way they did capital punishment. The Jews' capital punishment was to stone to death. They did that to Stephen. They stoned him to death. But they wanted Jesus to be crucified, and so they turned him over to the Romans. The sign of Jesus' love for us was to undergo this being lifted up on the cross, if I be lifted up. So many of us, you know, when I see people with their crosses, they wear a cross. Oh, isn't this a pretty cross? It is horrible. If you knew what the cross was, it's tremendous suffering and pain. But the significance of that is not suffering and pain. The significance of the cross is love. Decapitation, we know what that is. When a person is going to be killed by the guillotine or hanging. But the cross, what did Jesus undergo on the cross to give us a sign when you wear this sign of his love? But more important, you were baptized into that sign by water and the Holy Spirit. God so loved you and me that he gave us Jesus. Jesus so loved you and me that he suffered and died and rose from the dead. That's what that sign is. It's the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Triumph over sin and Satan and death. But by water and the Holy Spirit, you have been united with him as the head. You are a member of his body. You, by the sign of the cross and water, you know, when a woman breaks her water, it's a sign that a birth is about to take place. Water is the sign of new life. When you were baptized, and that's the symbol that's used, water is a sign and a symbol of life. By water and the Holy Spirit, you have been united with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in the sign of the cross. Through the cross, you have been united with Jesus Christ. And that union unites you in his suffering, death, and resurrection. This symbol, this sign, when a man, for instance, uses a sign like a ring, we know what that significant is. He gives his wife a ring on his wedding day. And with this sign, this is a symbol. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, take and wear this ring as a sign of my fidelity. And so she wears this ring knowing that he is bound to her. She is bound to him. It's a symbol of their closeness and their union as husband and wife. When you wear your cross, when you wear the crucifix, you are bound and united and one with Jesus through the cross, through your baptism, through your suffering, death, and resurrection with Christ. Jesus, when he carried the cross, I think it's so important just to go briefly over the cross and the love that he had for us. When Paul writes about the cross, he describes how humbling it was. What a tremendous act of humility Jesus did in order to show us his love. Death on the cross was such a humiliation, such a gift by Jesus Christ to us. Behold the heart that has loved so much, that was opened on the cross for us, and many times received such little love in return. St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, in the second chapter, beginning with the fifth verse, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, this is God's Son, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, can you imagine the love that God had in sending us his Son? Can you begin to understand just a tiny bit? Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, that the distance between God and a human is greater than the distance of me and a maggot, infinitely greater. God becoming one with us. He taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus was condemned by Pilate to die on the cross. He had to carry his instrument of torture. The crucified carried their own cross. He carried it from Pilate's chamber and praetorium to Calvary. And in his journey, we who have such a devotion see him as falling on the way because he had been scourged. The Roman scourge was made of sheep bone and metal balls that dug into his back and tore his flesh, his back from the top of his neck to the balls of his feet was one raw, bloody mess. On that he was carrying the cross. Mystics tell us that the greatest wound that he had of pain was the way the shoulder, because it was a raw piece of tree, of wooden beam, and it was about 200 pounds. He could never have carried both the vertical bar and the crossbar, which so many times in Christian imagination, because they don't realize that he could never have carried that. That would have weighed about 800 pounds. Rather, the vertical bar many times was right there anchored in the place where the crucified was to die. That day, those vertical bars were there at the top of Calvary, to where Jesus went with two others who were crucified with him. They also carried their crosses. He needed help along the way. The bruising and the pounding that he took along the way, because he had said he was a king of the spiritual world, not of this world, they crowned him with a crown of thorns that dug into his skull, and blood came pouring out upon him. He carried it to the place where he was crucified. The nails were put first into his hands on the cross beam. They weren't into the nails of the palm of his hand. There is a crack in the opening where bone would support it. If he put it in the nail in the hand, he would have fallen off the cross. There's a bone support right at the top of the hand, almost near the wrist. The crucifier would have known that. He drove the nails into each hand, then lifted the crossbar into its place, and then drove the nails into his feet. The crucified did not bleed to death. He suffocated. As he hung upon the cross, this was meant to give torture to the one crucified. He had to push up on the nails of his feet. Here before him on Calvary's Hill were the people whom he so many times loved, and so many who even came to him for healing and cures. They hated him, the leaders. They hated him, and he loved them. And he looked upon them with love, that infinite love that only God, man, could have. The heart of Jesus, filled with love for all mankind. That cross of Calvary, he did not only look out at Magdalene and his mother and John and those who were there. On Calvary, Jesus looked and saw Adam and Eve. All of mankind was there. He forgave them their sin. He saw Cain kill his brother Abel. He saw, you think, same-sex attraction, just as in our day. He saw Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus saw every war, every hatred, every sin of every human being up until the moment of the year 33. But this is the great and magnificent sign of the cross. Jesus saw every age until the end of time. Beloved brothers and sisters, Jesus, who was lifted on the cross, sees Omaha, 2014. He sees Scranton. From the cross, he sees Iraq. He sees everyone right now. From the cross, every place in the world right now where Mass is being offered, every place in the world that Christians are getting together to pray, every place in the world in Russia where Mass is being Orthodox Mass in the Ukraine, in Russia, every place, everywhere, he sees. From the cross. This sign is the sign of infinite love pouring out upon the world. It's only beginning that you can only begin to understand, beloved Christian I'm talking to. That same love is in you. He loves you. When you look at the cross, it's not torture. It's not just suffering. It's not just pain. What he's saying, and this is the horrible breakdown that is happening so many times, it's that you fail to see the love that's there for you personally. Recently, I was dealing with a mother, and she's telling me about her son. You know, he just doesn't go to church or whatever. You see, it's not so much that son has failed to recognize the divine love, neither does that mother. How can you communicate divine love to your children if you yourself don't experience it? Unless I know that I am loved, I can't tell others about it. The magnificent power in me, of because that love is His love in me. I suffer, I die, I rise with Him. I am one with Him. The love He wants for me is the same love He has in His heart to unite me with Him. I live, no, not I, but Christ lives in me. The love that that mother has for her son is the same as the love that Jesus has for him. Beyond what she can imagine, she is loved that way. And once I am loved that way, then my son is going to be fine. If I could love him, how much more does he love him in me and through me and with me? And how much love does my father have for me? And so when I make the sign of the cross, the symbol and sign of today is infinite love. If you were just to take water as you enter the church, even as you come and about to pray, and say, in the name of the Father, who loves you with infinite love, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. You see, you fathers and mothers, when you claim your children for Jesus Christ by the sign of the cross as they are to be baptized, that's exactly what the ceremony calls for. I claim you for Jesus Christ by this sign of the cross. That child of yours has been claimed by Christ, by the sign of the cross. The sign of the cross, which is the infinite love of God for that child, and the infinite love of Jesus for that child. And Jesus suffering and dying and rising is about to come into your child through being baptized. You have claimed that child for Jesus, and that child is going to be baptized. I baptize you, whatever that name of your child is, in the name of the Father, in the sign of the cross, and in the name of the Son, in the sign of the cross, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. That child has been saved and united with Jesus Christ because of the infinite love of the Father, the infinite love of Jesus on the cross, and now united by water and the Holy Spirit to the living God. What love does God have for your baptized children? It will never go away. That power of divine love that I begin to see it first for me, then I can begin to see it for you and for others, and to bring that divine love everywhere I go, that I can actually be one with Him, because that's how much He loves me. What a beautiful day. It's the exaltation of the Holy Cross. When you go to Mass, when you go to the assembly where you're going to pray as a Christian, when you go to an Orthodox liturgy, wherever you hear this in the entire world, God loves you so much that He gave you His only begotten Son. His Son loves you so much that He wants to be held up before you as a sign. And all who look upon this sign will be healed. As you see the Eucharistic symbol of that sign, the body and blood of Christ shed upon the cross, pouring out upon you that infinite love, because he loves you. Greater love than this no one has than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's what the cross is. Kiss your cross. See it as a symbol and a sign of love. Wear it. Wear it with such beauty and awareness of its goodness and beauty, of the reflection of love. But especially make it. I ask this of all the priests that I'm talking to, and bishops and deacons. When you make the sign of the cross, make it with such power. Power and grace, God's blessing coming down on everyone you bless. When you parents bless your children, make that sign with an awareness of its power, the exaltation of the Holy Cross to bring health, to drive away demons, and to proclaim the divine love. What a blessed sign this is, the sign of the cross. God bless.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essiff. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essiff.